Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, you take no pleasure in the wayward ways of sinners. Yet you rejoice in repentance and return of sinners. Grace, compassion, mercy are your ways. You welcome sinners. You redeem sinners who repent. May your mercies flow here and now into the hearts of all the hearers of these words, so they know you love them. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Such a week we had, full of excitement and the joy of day camp, surrounded with all those super heroes serving God, wearing their masks and donning their capes and flashing their shields too. And for myself, for the most part, I did not pay much attention to the news in the world. I was sort of shutting the world out to enjoy the children running around and playing, learning about Daniel and Mary and David and Moses and Paul the apostle. And then the real world breaks in with all of its brokenness. Friday morning, I sent an email to my brother and sister-in-law, and in the subject line, I wrote France with a question mark. The short message I sent was this: we pray Anna is safe and well. My niece is spending the summer in France as a part of an engineering group. I was wondering, was she safe and well? She is. And the others in the engineering group are safe. But there's many, many others devastated and broken in heart. Humans. Humans are full of sin. We do evil things. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ will change a human heart. This is the evidence that people are lost and they need to be found. Yesterday morning, as I was eating a late breakfast, a knock came to the door, and usually I don't answer the door for solicitations. However, this time is a woman at the door, and then as I answered the door, she invited me to come to a gathering that's coming at the Nutter Center down in Fairfield, down by Wright State. And she handed me a small booklet. One quick glance at that booklet, I knew she was a Jehovah's Witness. And then I turned to her and I spoke to her about the things of Jesus, being crucified on the cross for our sins. And she answered, "I believe that." I quoted John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And I said, "Jesus was God." "Research for yourself." And she responded, "I do a lot of research." I said, "Do more. There's a difference." Then looking into her eyes, I said, "I pray you come to know the real Jesus." And then I added, "I'm Pastor Jeffrey Lee. I serve Faith in Christ, the church just around the corner." And then I looked very much with emphasis at her again. "There is grace for you. There is grace for you." And when I said that, "There is grace for you," she appeared stunned. And she really didn't know what to say next, and so the conversation concluded through the morning and the rest of the day, and even today, and for the next several days, and so on. She will come to my mind, and I will pray for her. Another lost person who needs to be found. All around us are lost people that need to be found. Luke chapter 15 is three parables of lost things: lost sheep, lost coin, lost son. And the focus of all three of the parables is rejoicing when the lost is found. The occasion for Jesus telling the parables is that tax collectors and sinners, and that sinners is in quotes because it's so much more. It means the preeminently sinful, the especially wicked people stained with defilement. They're unceremonially clean. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law see them as sinners. And they see them gathering to hear Jesus, and they mutter and complain indignantly, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." This was no compliment meant for Jesus, rather as a word of condemnation. Jesus ought to hold his nose and walk away so as not to be polluted by these sinners. That is what the Pharisees and teachers of the law would do. They would hold their nose and walk away. Avoid such sinners. That's the proper thing to do. Jesus shows the Pharisees and the teachers of the law how wrong they are by telling these three parables. These three parables show us how God looks upon sinners, how God desires sinners to be found, and that there is great joy, joy in heaven, when one repents and returns. Establish this truth in your Christian faith. Establish it in your Christian faith. There will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. More rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Bring the fatted calf, kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Establish this truth in your Christian faith, repenting, turning from the world's ways and turning towards God's ways results in great rejoicing and celebrating in heaven. God loves sinners. God died for the ungodly and is ever ready with mercy and grace to welcome them. The charge the Pharisees made against Jesus was that this man, meaning Jesus, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Jesus responds with words of compassion and grace for sinners. Jesus responds with these parables that perhaps just may change the minds about how God looks towards sinners, with longing love for them to repent and come to him. In other words, to be found. Really think about this. God, the one true, living, the only real God there is, does not reject sinners. He receives them, eats with them. The God of Scripture, the God of Old Testament, is not a wrathful God looking for ways to judge and destroy. The God of the Old Testament is a God of compassion, working through events and circumstances to move hearts to repent and return to him. We see this in the ultimately giving of the living gift. The living Lord made a way of redemption through Jesus Christ. And God is still working in events in people's lives to bring about repentance in them, returning them to him. The parable of the lost sheep, you can get lost in focusing too much on the sheep that was lost. Instead, you need to focus on what Jesus was teaching the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. What he was teaching through that parable. God wants sinners to come to him. To come to him through repentance. Come and know the great work of redeeming has been done. Finished on the cross. Repent and come. So the redeeming power of the blood that Jesus shed on the cross will wash. Will wash clean and declare righteous. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God is in the business of redeeming. God is in the business of forgiving. If God wanted to be wrathful, that many people think He is, there would be no need to make a way of redeeming. Instead, God is that loving God who did make the way of redeeming by giving His own Son. For us, for you and me, it's about getting a different set of eyes. Eyes that see each human being as a person who Jesus died on the cross for. See each person as that someone who needs Christ. And then trying to find a way to communicate with compassion that Christ Jesus is Lord and wants them to be His own. Eyes of a Pharisee see. They say, look, there's a sinner. And then they turn and walk away. The sinner needs to get cleaned up. That's what the Pharisee says. Sinner needs to get cleaned up and work on righteousness by observing the law, just like we Pharisees do. And once they get their righteousness that way, then we Pharisees may sit down and eat with them. Why did Jesus associate with tax collectors, prostitutes? He touched lepers. He freed the demon-possessed. Because God wants people to come to Him. God wants people to be with Him eternally in heaven. That is why we were created in the first place. To be a loving expression of God, to be cherished by God, and to be with God. But sin broke that. And sin cast us into the lostness of creation. The larger challenge of today is that people do not think they are sinners. The way of life, the morals, and the mores have so entered the gutter in common everyday life that simple self-control is old-fashioned. Even the church, instead of being the salt and the light in places, has responded by acquiescing and embracing sin, taking upon itself the power to unsin and bless what God's holy word does not do. As a result, people do not know they are lost. They do not feel they are lost. Instead, they feel totally all right. And then add to this multiculturalism and religious pluralism with the message of all religions are the same, just different words for things being the mainstream mantra. Being lost and the need to repent just does not come to people's minds. But in their conscience, God is still at work, seeking the lost, and God desires them to respond. That is why we, faith in Christ, we will be the salt, we will be the light, so someone who is lost knows they can be found. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do what is good. And so I reached back into our Lutheran heritage, and I have pulled in two paragraphs from a sermon by Dr. Martin Luther. A sermon on the lost sheep by Dr. M. Luther, delivered at Wittenberg in the presence of Elector of Saxony, Duke John Frederick, 1533. Dr. Luther, "For in this state and nature, by virtue of what of which we became Christian, all human works cease, and hence all law. For where there is no work, there can be no law to demand work and to say, do this, leave that. But we are, through baptism and through the blood of Christ, simply free from all works and justified by mere grace and mercy, and even live before God alone by them. This is, I say, our treasure, according to which we are Christians, and live and stand before God." A little later, Luther writes, "For where the gospel is truly in the heart, it creates a new man who does not wait until the law comes, but being so full of joy in Christ and of desire and love for that which is good, he gladly helps and does good to everyone wherever he can. From a free heart, before he ever once thinks of the law, he wholly risks his body and life without asking what he must suffer on account of it, and thus abounds in good works which flow forth of themselves. Just like Christ will not be compelled to pick up a straw, but without compulsion he permits himself to be nailed to the cross for me and the whole world, and dies for the lost sheep. This may indeed be called work above work." The news headlines show a world that is in lostness. You want to change the news headlines? See that hearts are found. A person captured by the gospel of Jesus Christ, where the redeeming words have taken up residence in the heart, that person truly becomes a new man. That person truly becomes a new woman. That child becomes a new boy. That child becomes a new girl, through and through, new, born again. If you have not experienced that newness, hear the gospel this day. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, and was crucified and died for the sins of the world. Your sin, my sin, all sin. On the third day he rose from the dead, never to die again. Ascended into heaven, where he is at the right hand of God. He will come again. Jesus paid the redeeming price with his own blood to make forgiveness for you a free gift. Come. Come, be found by Christ. Stop running away. Stop wandering off. Turn and see your Savior. A truck barreling down a closed-off street does not bring rejoicing in heaven. It brings tears of weeping. A lost person, a sinner repenting, that brings rejoicing in heaven. As human, we are born sinners. We are naturally lost. But God's grace through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. By God's grace, we are found. Amen.